I'm Mike Breen, Public Awareness Officer for the American Mathematical Society, and I'm talking with Sarah Cook, who's from the University of Michigan and is giving an AMS MAA invited address, What is the Shape of a Rational Map, at the Joint Mathematics Meetings. That'll be on the first day, on Wednesday, from 11:10 to noon in the invited address rooms, ballrooms 1 and 2, on the 400 level of the Baltimore Convention Center. And so, Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about your address, your talk?
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike, for giving me the opportunity to speak with you today. My talk is entitled, What is the Shape of a Rational Map? And I'll just start by entertaining that question. In fact, I was sitting next to Bill Thurston at a conference a number of years ago, and he was speaking with me and another mathematician named Tan Lei, and he mentioned that this was a very interesting and inspiring research question that he himself had been thinking about recently. What is the shape of a rational map? And was convinced that there was going to be some picture or something revealed in the future about what the shape of a rational map actually is. So this is sort of the first time I had actually even entertained this kind of visionary question, and I like it quite a bit, and it has shaped a fair amount of my research since. So in my talk, what I'll do first is just ask that question, and then I'll talk about two different versions of that question. So a rational map is a holomorphic map from a Riemann sphere to a Riemann sphere. So Riemann sphere is just a complex plane plus a point at infinity. And you can think about a rational map as being a function from a domain Riemann sphere to a range Riemann sphere, and not think of the domain and range as the same at all. They're just two separate Riemann spheres. So that's what I would call a non-dynamical question. What is the shape of that function from this domain sphere to this range sphere? You can try to ask that question, and many people have. For example, there's a theory of Belli maps, where Belli is spelled B-E-L-Y-I. These are rational functions with three or fewer critical values, and you don't think of the domain and range spheres being identified, and you try to understand mathematically how to understand those objects. And Grothendieck developed a theory of descendant-enfant, and this can be used to completely understand what these maps actually are. So on the other hand, you could identify the domain and range spheres, and then you could start to iterate your map. And this is what I'll call a dynamical version of this question. And when you iterate a rational function on the Riemann sphere, there are some natural subsets to study. For example, you can study what's called the Fatou set and its complement, the Julia set. The Fatou set of a rational map is a region of stability where if you have two points that are very close together on the Riemann sphere, they're in the Fatou set, and you iterate your function on each one of the points, they'll behave very similarly under iteration. Conversely, if you start with two points or one point in the Julia set and any other point that's close by, when you iterate the rational function starting at each of those two points, the forward behavior of those points will be very, very different. So there are some natural subsets of the sphere to study when one wants to ask the question, what is the shape of a rational map from a dynamical point of view when you identify the domain and range spheres? In the case of polynomials, one can do this a little bit easier working in just the complex plane itself. So in my talk, what I'll do is I'll talk a bit about this phenomenon, the Julia set and the Fatou set of a rational function, using quadratic polynomials as a starting point. And then I'll make a very simple remark. This is something that goes back all the way to the time of Fatou and Julia, almost 100 years ago. And that is that the shapes of these objects, the sets, the Fatou set and the Julia set, what they actually are is governed a lot by the forward orbits of the critical points of a rational function. A rational function has finitely many critical points, and if you study what happens to these critical points under iteration, you can learn a lot about the dynamics of your rational function. In particular, if you insist that the critical points have finite forward orbits, meaning that each critical point eventually maps into a cycle that's periodic, that really puts a lot of constraints on what your dynamics actually can be and what the shapes of these objects are. And they're much, much tamer than the general case where the critical points possibly have these crazy infinite orbits and could be doing all sorts of interesting things. So the case where the critical points have finite forward orbits, those maps are very special and they're called post-critically finite rational functions. And they have a lot of structure that you can use to understand the dynamics. So from the point of view of just iterating the map itself, but also from the point of view of what happens in parameter spaces. So in my talk, I'll be talking about all of these questions, showing lots and lots of pictures and using quadratic polynomials as a concrete example of how the shapes of these rational functions change. That is, how the Fatou sets and the Julia sets and the dynamics of the map change depending on the orbits of the critical points.
Now, you just mentioned the post-critically finite maps, describing them, and your abstract mentions that there's a parallel between them in the space of all the rational maps and rational numbers in the reals. Is that parallel in this they can generate the whole space, or what exactly is it?
It's actually, it's sort of a striking comparison. So, for example, if we're just studying quadratic polynomials, then I'll choose my coordinates. So my polynomials look like z squared plus c, where z is the variable in the polynomial and c is a complex parameter. I can parameterize this family with a copy of the complex plane. And the post-critically finite parameters are very special inside that family. And inside this family, there's a very famous set known as the Mandelbrot set, which consists of all parameters, little c, for which with the filled Julia set of the polynomial is connected. And inside that very famous fractal are these very special parameters called post-critically finite parameters. And those are the parameters, little c, for which the critical point, which in these coordinates, z squared plus c, the critical point is at zero. So those parameters for which zero has finite forward orbit. You can write down equations to find these parameters, and you'll find that those numbers are going to be algebraic integers. So those C values, those special C values for which the critical point has finite forward orbits, are algebraic integers. You get this nice countably infinite set, and it's a subset of the Mandelbrot set. And in fact, you can use these parameters, these nice algebraic integers, to sort of map out the Mandelbrot set, which is this very complicated fractal that you can sort of navigate your way through using these numbers and actually using the shape of the polynomial in a way that I'll explain in my talk. And in fact, if you take the topological closure of this countably infinite set of algebraic integers, it will contain that beautiful boundary of the Mandelbrot set, this exceedingly complicated fractal that we still don't completely understand. So it's true, but I'm sweeping something under the rug a little bit, that any post-critically finite rational function, that is a rational function where every critical point has finite forward orbit, is conjugate to, by which I mean you can change coordinates in the domain and range by a Mobius transformation, to a rational function that has algebraic coefficients. So from the point of view of looking at families of dynamical systems, the post-critically finite parameters are like the algebraic points. They're very special inside of their family, and they play an important role. So that's sort of what that analogy comes from. It's sort of like there are these special algebraic points inside these parameter space families, and you can use them to navigate your way around the space itself.
So when you have 45 or 50 minutes, you don't have to sweep as much under the rug as you might with just our short interview here. So those are nice explanations. Thank you, Sarah. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Actually, yes. So during my talk, I'll be showing lots and lots of pictures and some really entertaining animations that were made by my colleague Arnaud Charita in Toulouse. And in order to understand the shapes of rational functions, you actually could, in a way that I'll make precise, understand what the shapes of polynomials are. And this work goes back to great mathematicians like Bill Thurston and John Hubbard and Adrienne Douhety. I'll mention how one could understand the shapes of polynomials, but sometimes you can take two polynomials and paste them together to get a rational function. And during my talk, I'll make that explicit, and that there is this way of doing that. So in understanding the shapes of polynomials, one could understand the shapes of some rational functions that can be obtained by pasting two polynomials together. And I have some really cool movies that illustrate this phenomenon. So I'm looking forward to showing those and sharing them at the joint meetings.
And so that's a good way for people to start the meeting with those, seeing some really cool movies on Wednesday morning.
they are really cool.
Excellent. So thanks again, Sarah. That's Sarah Cook, who's from the University of Michigan, talking about her AMS MAA invited address, What is the Shape of a Rational Map? It'll be Wednesday morning from 11:10 till noon in the invited address room on the 400 level of the Baltimore Convention Center. Sarah, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mike.